Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Brian.
And I'm Lizzie.
This is the Emo Social Club. We are clubbing, we are emo, and we are social. On this episode, though, we're talking to a metal social club architect. Yeah. I don't know if we can, we don't really change the name. We're talking with Kill the Lights, James. We had a great conversation about their old bands and the bands that they came up with in the Warped Tour scene and all that and new music that's coming out. It's a great chat. If you're one of these kids on Twitter talking about metalcore, this will be great for
you. Yeah, this is it for you.
This is the metalcore convo. I want to do more metalcore combos on this anyway, because that's how I grew up. So this is like,
I mean, it makes, I feel like metalcore has been blending into like the emo scene for so long now that they're just kind of synonymous, which, you know, people can be upset about if they want to.
Oh, people
be.
Are upset.
It just is what it is. I mean, look at Bring Me the Horizon. They've gotten very big in metalcore, and they've kind of really changed the game with the way that people sound now in the metalcore scene. So, and it's made it mainstream. Sorry, but that's correct. It's a statement of fact.
Who are you arguing with? Anyway, Twitter. we will get to that episode shortly. Before we do, you should be sure that you are following, subscribed, liking. We have social media platforms to do that on. You can follow us on Instagram at Emo Social Club. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at @XEmoSocialClubX. We got a lot of our stuff over on TikTok right now. It's all going.
Yeah.
It's happening.
We're like almost up to 5K
followers.
So if you haven't followed yet, follow us and tell your friends to follow us. Tell your frenemies to follow us on TikTok.
That's a great place to just like get caught up with what we're doing. We got a lot of stuff over on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/emosocialclub. We got the video version of this interview. We have the videos of all of our interviews. We have a lot of other content that's specifically over there. We're reviewing all the records from when we were young. We got all kinds of stuff. So if that's the kind of thing that you're interested in, there's some metalcore records in there. So if you're a metalcore fan, we got some metalcore reviews.
We're coming up. Brian's really excited about some of them.
I'm so stoked. So yeah, check us out over on YouTube and make sure that you're sharing things if you like them, because that's how you help both us and the artists we interview and vice versa. And yeah, thank you for all of your time and your energy and your patience.
Been really chill.
Yeah. Also, if you are liking these interviews and you want to hear more of them, we do have some extended editions of these over on our Patreon page. For the most part, it's only $1 to donate to us, to subscribe to us,
dollar.
That you get additional content for the interviews. And once we start to get a little bit of people over there interested, we'll start doing some additional content over on that side as well. So patreon.com/emosocialclub, extended interviews, behind the scenes content, all types of fun stuff over there as well. All right. Well, that's that. Let's go ahead. Let's get into it. This is our interview with James of Kill the Lights. Welcome to the Emo Social Club podcast, the podcast about music, news, and interviews. I am Brian.
And I'm Lizzie, and we're here today with James of Kill the Lights. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
Of course.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Kill the Lights, about yourself.
Kill the Lights. Well, I am the lead singer and chief tambourine player, so
love it.
Don't forget that. Get those credits on the musical writing piece. Been a band now for five years. Second album is about to come out, and you know, a collective of five guys that were in five different bands that have spanned the emo years, and we've put together a kind of a, you know, a new band here, and pretty excited about what we got going on. So yeah,
I really find it interesting that more of like a metalcore band has some tambourine thrown in there. Is it just to spice it up?
It is just to throw you off.
Okay, love it.
Yeah. Changing his genre slightly, just for that little cowbell and tambourine is all you need.
I've never, I mean, there's been a lot of, over the years, like metalcore adding in more keyboards and more clean singing, if you want to call it that. So I think it's the natural progression to add just any instrumentation you want. Like, I've never heard a song with a tambourine that I've been like, man, I don't like this song, or it doesn't bring that.
It's texture.
Add
a texture. I mean, like, what's funny is, one of our most recent singles, we had a, like a 5-part kind of gospel outro to the song, right? Sleep with the Devil is a single, the last single released. And if you listen to the outro of that song, it's got a complete gospel outro vibe, right? So I don't think anything's off the table these days, and kind of trying to push and explore kind of different avenues and why not, right? Like, I think we're in a space, we've all been in bands before that we've kind of done our own thing, but now it's a chance to kind of explore, and if it feels good, kind of do it. So
see, now you're going to actually be held to this, and people are going to actually expect some tambourine on the next thing.
I'm going to, like, it's going to be a tambourine solo.
Yeah.
You just got to be like, I don't know.
And then they're going to be like, how did you lose your fans? And I realized
it'll be like, no, listen, I just don't think they appreciate art.
Yeah, it's a different one.
But it's artistic, right? They're like, no.
It's okay. Just throw in a mandolin and really just bring them back.
That's it. Throwback.
But with this, new album, so it's the first one since 2020, which was your debut album. So how has a lot of this music kind of evolved and changed from the first time you guys put out music as a super group till now?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we had a small thing called COVID happen for the duration, you know. So it was really weird. We had such a really big build up to that, you know, whether it be press, whether it be just the vibe of the album and everything else going with it and tours booked. And, you know, literally as we're about to release it, you know, COVID hit and shut us down for 2 years. So it was kind of such a big build up to be such a letdown, you know? So this album really feels like the first true release, really, right? Mm-hmm. What it's allowed us to do is really work on ourselves as a band. You know, we get that term supergroup, but I think the nice thing about where we're at now is I think on this second album, we've kind of found our own sound. So I think standalone, if you took away the names of who's in it, I think hopefully people see that it's a band that stands on its own, that can kind of carry its own weight as Kill the Lights versus a band of five collective dudes that were in bands before, right? So I think it really, like I say, I think this second album is really, we've kind of come into our own and kind of figured out who we are a little bit, which is pretty exciting, and kind of we can kind of see the direction we're going in, which is really nice too.
I feel like there's been, I mean, the change in the music industry now is that you don't really have to call it a supergroup because people can just play music with each other and collaborate and get into a room with one another. I think in rock music, it's like, no, it's a supergroup because it's this band of the, you know, the instrumentalists, and then they have this singer now in there. But really, like, rock music has kind of just moved into a place where it's like everyone's writing together, they're working together, there's a lot of collaboration going on, so you don't really need that title anymore. It's like, nope, this band just is with these people and they're writing on it.
I mean, if we went through kind of every band's evolution, right, and who played with who unintentionally, right, there would be 250 guys that have played in 50 bands together and they've all played, you know, it's like this, you know, so we could literally list for days bands that guys that have done that, you know what I mean? And it continues to happen. So, I mean, part of it's the networking too. And when you're out on the road, you know, the reason this band came together is because we all toured with each other, you know, my old band Throw the Fight opened for Moose's Bullet for my Valentine. You know, we got Jordan Still Remains opening for Bullet and touring back in the day too. And Threat Signal touring with Chris Clancy, who was one of our producers. That was Travis. So, like, literally everybody had kind of, again, networked and toured together. So, I mean, we've all kind of been there and done that. So that's a kind of nice thing too. And we kind of knew about each other, of each other and already got along. So it was a pretty easy put together, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just kind of like a natural effort. Everything just fell into place.
It sure did. It was pretty easy. Minus COVID.
Yeah.
Minus besides that.
The album is called Death Melodies. It's out March 8th on Fearless Records. Is there anything else to hype it up for the audience? What can they expect? What should they be looking forward to? Is it just solos and
tambourines?
And tambourines and shouting
third,
and singing?
Third album. Third album. Is the tambourines. Like I said, I think, so Death Melody is just, you know, the kind of vision for kind of what we had. It's really kind of a roller coaster, and it's a roller coaster about life. So lyrically, I kind of deal with a lot of stuff, mental health wise, you know, whether it's depression, anxiety, kind of the ups and downs of life and what life throws at you, right? We're all, I don't care your age, your ethnicity, your space in life, what you do for a job. We all have these kind of roller coaster rides of life, you know, from week to week to year. And I think what this album has kind of done is, if you listen from front to back, it really creates kind of just that balance of what life is, the emotional highs and lows. And I think we managed to capture that. And, you know, without doing the cliched metalcore thing of writing the same song over and over, we got a really good balance of songs. We could easily write the same five songs over again.
Yeah.
But for us, it was pushing it, you know, having somewhat of a ballad tune, but to go to a thrash tune, to go to a metalcore tune, but it all seems like it should be on the same record. Can be a difficult thing, but at the same time, I think we managed to capture that, and it still sounds like Kill the Lights, no matter which part of the album that is. So that's what we're most proud about, just kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit for us. And, you know, yeah, I think we're just happy the way it turned out, and we're excited for everybody to hear it. So,
yeah, with the singles you've already put out, like listening through it, just like letting it roll through, I'm like, okay, this sounds cohesive, even though you are able to do a lot with different like versions of metal for the most part. We're not going to two different genres, but it's all under the metal umbrella. But I think the one that stood out to me the most was Scapegoat, because I heard it and I'm like, this is like an early 2000s like scene metalcore straight out of the box tune.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the guys in my band arguably are some of the pioneers-ish or early on pioneers of set genre, right? So there's no reason why they shouldn't write a song like that. I mean, we can go back if you want to get into like the medical history, but they're pretty close with three of their bands there. So to be able to go and delve into some of the back history of the band and their style specifically, but mesh it with kind of my vocal style and some melody and everything else too, and then switch to some of the other singles that are maybe more rock orientated, you know. It was just nice to be able to, again, a bit of solo on there. There's nothing wrong with that too, you know. So ain't nothing wrong with some headbanging.
Exactly. There has been a lot of talk about those metalcore bands from that early days, you know, kind of going more to rock radio and active rock and Octane. I can't say Octane without sounding like Octane Radio, really. But like, I do feel like I've been listening to some older stuff lately, like Atreyu, which,
oh no,
Lizzie's not a fan of Atreyu, but I've been listening to a lot of Atreyu lately.
It's really devastating, honestly.
And thinking like, you know, I really liked this like early sound, and we have all this nostalgia for like, there's the pop punk scene, there's the emo scene. We're bringing back a lot of those sounds, and it's like, where is my like early 2000s metalcore like bringing that sound back? Because a lot of these bands, I feel like, went to active rock radio, and now they're like, yeah, we got to make songs that sound like this instead of that older style where, you know, maybe there's more singing and less screaming, and maybe there's less solos, and maybe, you know, it's all these sort of things are thrown in there. So I'm glad that at least you're bringing that back.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, right? Because you have guys that break through that and kind of get some notoriety, you know, so and then, you know, they are able to make a substantial living from it, which is great, right? And sometimes the influence of labels and everything else can kind of take over that one or two songs that kind of stood out as a single, then becomes the mold for what it maybe should be for the rest of the album. And you sometimes can lose the edge of what the band originally started out with or as, you know. A lot of bands come out with their freshman first release, and it's really difficult to kind of beat that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because it was raw, that it was they were living, they were struggling to get through to try and make it, right? And what made them make it was that just raw passion and kind of just beauty of trying so hard to get there, you know. And sometimes when things are a little easier, or it's you kind of guided, you know, correctly or incorrectly, it kind of takes away some of the shine off of what those bands are, you know. And there's plenty of bands that did that, plenty of bands that have managed to continue and evolve in a good way. I think it's great when bands can not stay the same. Some fans want you just to write the same 12 songs every album, and that's yep. fine. As a musician, I can tell you that creative wise, you want to kind of push boundaries and do stuff. For us, I think from album one, we've been very clear about who we are stylistically, in a sense of like, we have a mix of songs on there. It's all thematic, but we're not saying, you know, we haven't lulled the fan base into thinking that we're this straight up metalcore band from the start, and then now we're going to write some slower tunes on the second album. We had them on the first. So
yeah,
the balance is pretty much the same. You know, it's just trying to stretch the boundary for us of every one of those songs on the album. But like I say, it can be very sad when bands kind of lose the edge a little bit, you know?
I mean, I want everyone to get paid, and I want them to make their, you know, make their bag and do big tours and be on the radio and live their dreams. Cause obviously I want that for myself, and I want that for everybody. But sometimes I'm like, man, but I would really like it if you released one more, like, you know, more metalcore, that like Warped Tour scene,
or even just more like diversification in sound overall, just to show that you are most of these musicians are very versatile, and you can hear it on a lot of different albums, like in general. But it would be nice if sometimes with certain acts, if they would be able to showcase it, because we know if they did, it'd probably be like a sleeper hit.
Yeah. And it's like, as you delve, I don't know if you guys experience, but you know, the more you involve management, the more, you know, we're on a record label, to be honest, has been phenomenal. We've never had any, there's never going to be any direction in anything we should do. There's no input whatsoever, which for us has been, that was kind of the reason we chose the label too, because Fearless were just, we love what you're doing, keep doing it. You know what I mean? And that's for album one and album two, like literally in the greatest way. It's not like, it's like, hey, freaking awesome, keep doing what you're doing. You know what I mean? So I think that's a big part of it, you know? And we're in a space that, you know, would we like to play huge shows? Absolutely. But, you know, we got an upcoming European tour headliner we're doing for our first time. And most of the venues are all 200, 150 cap rooms. And we're stupidly excited about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about you guys, but my favorite shows I've ever been to have been those underground 100%. Shit holes.
Oh, yeah.
100%. That
sweaty, dirty awesomeness of, I don't know. So everything I grew up with, you know, punk shows that we go to. And we're just so excited about just doing that. You know what I mean? We're going across Europe. And like I say, it's getting back to the underground rootsy kind of thing that we all grew up with and did, all started off doing. And we're just super excited about getting back into that and doing that. So I was chatting with the boys and we're just Googling all the venues and we're just super excited about these venues we're playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how Moose is going to fit on some of these stages. To be honest, his drum kit probably takes up most of the stage. Yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know about you guys, but that's my favorite kind of venue to catch a band at. You know what I mean?
100%. If anything, you guys will just have to stand in the crowd, so it'll be true like DIY original
up.
Punk band energy.
Absolutely, yeah, super excited about that.
What are the dates of this European tour? Let's let people know if they are listening.
April 19th through May 12th, I think May 10th.
Yeah.
So we hit, I think, 8-9 dates across the UK. And then we hit got Prague, we've got the Netherlands, we've got Germany, I think 6 dates in Germany. So tickets are on sale now. Come and get sweaty and have a good time with us. No, I mean, we're just super excited about getting out in front of fans too, right? Again, with COVID shutting stuff down, this is a good time for us to get out there and just really meet people, shake hands, and just share our music with people. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, European fans of metal are intense and passionate and... I can imagine, yeah, those shows are going to go off. And they're going to sell out, so buy your tickets now. Or buy them now. Yeah, you'll miss out.
That's it. Yeah, pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
So going back to a little bit about what was kind of the inspiration with some of your tracks that you do have. So you do talk about how this kind of was born out of just like wanting to have some togetherness and also to kind of showcase that like, we all have like depression or anxiety or something that we're dealing with. What one track from this album really stands out to you in particular that you feel really encapsulates that or is just really close to you?
I mean, again, I think what's interesting about this for me is that every band member has got 2 or 3 separate favorites. There's not one. I think sometimes we have a record when it's like, you clearly know the best 3 songs, right? Everybody kind of picks the 3. We've all had bands, right? If we ask the guys, we've each got 3 or 4, maybe some crossover, but for the most part, everybody's got kind of 3 or 4 different tunes that really stand out to them, you know? For me, Die Alone is a good one. There's a lot of, From Ashes is another one. Sleep with the Devil too, you know? Again, that for me is just vocally was pushing boundaries for me, just to have it be so kind of raw and open and kind of more of a ballady, right, style thing, which is not my normal forte. So those 3 to me kind of definitely and lyrically kind of speak to it. Sleep with the Devil specifically talks about kind of addiction and being addicted to something or with alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, and just trying to break that cycle and get away from it. But you're always getting sucked back into that situation. And I think many people can kind of relate to that, you know. Again, you know, kind of going in, you know, I think I've always had anxiety growing up. I just didn't recognize it. Like even to the point where my wife, and this just sounds crazy, but 6 months ago, you know, she said to me, and she's a teacher, so she's like, well, you know, you have ADHD, right? What are you talking about? And she's like, you know that though, right? I'm like, and then so I literally, you know, did the Googling, and literally I literally covered the spread of that. But again, it's just, but it's also like almost overwhelming because you don't always realize that's you, right? But it, you know, but kind of being diagnosed with some of those things later in life is just kind of crazy, and the impact that's had on your life, you know. I think a lot of musicians, you know, and artists kind of deal with a lot, you know, deal with a lot of mental health stuff, deal with a lot of these problems, which it's a blessing and a curse, I think, a lot of times too. What creates some of the creativity is the bad too. So I'm sure you have artists on this, on your podcast here, and you probably have conversations about this, right? And I think fans of this too, this genre specific, right? We relate to that because that kind of the angst is what drew us to it.
Oh yeah.
People like us, right? That's really what it is. That's what's, I mean, the first ever shows I went to was kind of, I was a part of a group of like nobodies that were not included, and we found out people. And I imagine this is what this podcast is listeners of the same type of people, just, you know, we're all searching a little bit and trying to find ourselves. And again, these genres are created through that search, right? And that's the, you know, I think some of the best days of my life are, and my best friends are, my best friend of 20-ish years was, it come from meeting them in a pit, you know what I mean? So I think we gain so much from being part of the music scene. I'm not sure about your guys' experience, but
No, I mean, it's definitely it's the pursuit of that community, the pursuit of feeling like you belong somewhere, knowing that we all are dealing with depression, anxiety, and stuff, and I think the music, the value of the music is the catharsis that comes along with it, both for the person creating it and for the person listening to it, experiencing it live, being in that pit, finding friends in the pit, throwing bows at each other. So certainly, yeah, that community aspect of it and all that comes with it. I like, at least you're throwing out there too. It's like, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, because then and all of a sudden my only catharsis is coming from talking about all of the dark places that I've been to or all the things that I've dealt with. And so I have to keep tapping into that well to create more music out of that. I think of some artists, like, and you were kind of saying this too, and maybe with COVID, is like, I'm finding these things that everybody can relate to. So it's a little bit less about like all of the demons I'm dealing with and more about like everything that people are dealing with and more of like a universal experience versus like, I got to keep tapping back into my own traumas and you know, saying them out to an audience.
Yeah. I think it can be a dangerous place to keep revisiting your own demons too, right? If you're not careful. I think there's enough space right now that collectively as a world, it's an interesting place right now. I think mm-hmm. you can all agree, right? Like
yep.
even the last 5 years, 10 years, right? It's so much separation. I feel like we've gained so much, but also lost so much in the last 5-10 years, and where we were united about certain stuff, it seems to be so segmented right now that, you know, everybody's got an opinion about everything, right? Everybody's canceling everything about everybody. So the beauty's got lost a little bit there some way. And, you know, but at the same time, some wonderful things are coming this, and, you know, people that would have been, a minority now are getting having a voice, which is wonderful too, you know? So, it's just an interesting space. So there's plenty to me, you know, life has thrown plenty at me to continue to talk about plenty of different things, but tapping into that, the well of self issues here is quite easy for me. So
yeah,
no, that's totally understandable, and I think that was great to kind of go into a deep dive with all of that, because I think some people nowadays, with how popular metalcore and emo and that this entire alt genre has been too, it's kind of become a little bit of this like cool kids place that it never used to be. And now it's like, yeah, it's cool kids, but everybody's invited this time. In a way, it's a little bit better than it was before, at least.
Yeah, I mean, and we're seeing a resurgence on, you know, we're looking back to the early 2000s. Like I said, there is a pure resurgence, even to like rap metal now, right now, like kind of that, you know, new metal styles is kind of seeing its own kind of resurgence too. Like, I mean, you know, again, a lot of bands reuniting for a 20-25 year, you know, reunion. Like Ryan, our manager, he he was a drummer for Funeral for a Friend, you know? And again, they've reunited to do some stuff and selling out 2,000 cap rooms across Europe, you know? So the demand is still there too, you know? People want a slice of that too, you know? Mike Hem playing again, you know what I mean? All that stuff where people want to revisit that, and it's, they maybe found them in the, when they were 15 or 16 and now 35, but want to bring their kids to it. It's kind of, that's crazy too in itself. But it's awesome. It's awesome to see that, and new bands coming through that are pushing that genre too, right? It's great to see that as well.
I think it's a little concerning for talking about like the mental health issues that we all dealt with back when we were 15, and it's like they're still here, and there's new people for them for these bands.
There's some fresh issues.
It's like it's just like a never ending audience. Like I think you're set. This is a good business model.
There are a lot of artists that really spoke to the conditions of being a person and living in, living your life and living with these, you know, these situations that arise for you. And it's like, there's just a lot of artists that meant a lot to people. And luckily they wrote some good songs that had some staying power. I, for one, wish I was seeing Funeral for a Friend, you know, way more often than I am, because I want them all to be happy and do their thing, but I'm also like, well, you know, if you want to come around, I'm going to go to that show.
I'm not either. There's, like I said, there's plenty of, you know, some bands are doing that for pure cash grab too. I mean, it is what it is, right? It is what it is.
I mean, we can tell too on stage. We're like, yeah, like I'm happy, but I know what's going on here. It's a mutual understanding.
Yeah.
The $50 t-shirt with the, you know, $85 ticket. We get it.
Yep. So.
But you know, that is what that is too. Again, I think the kind of cool thing about our tour right now is I know I'm pretty damn sure our tickets are damn cheap and the venues are small and sweaty, so we're kind of most excited about that. And it's like I said, it's hard to want to go see any band for $200 to watch, you know, watch them play songs from 20 years ago for $200, but it is what it is.
Yeah, if the song, it's crazy when a song has been massive, like it's just one song that the band has and it's so big that they can, you know, sell out a tour off of the back of one song that they wrote.
There are bands that are continue to tour today that have had one or two radio hits over the years and have managed to have a 20-year career of it. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
If you can do that and have a 20-year career and do that for your day job for 20 years off of one or two singles, God bless you.
Yeah.
You know?
All the power
to it. And there are bands like that too, for sure. It's awesome.
Oh yeah. And like, there's, I mean, they're always out there and you're just like, oh yeah, I only know this one song. And they're like, yep. That's the moneymaker. I'm like, you know what? Good for them. They only got to do that that much and they're set. Cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Not many. It's the 1% though. That's the 1%.
Yeah.
The rest of the bands are just grinding. Do you know what I mean?
So. Yeah. A lot of bands are grinding and a lot of, there are enough bands that have, you know, a number of songs too. So I hope that, there's more of that too, because I for one am tired of spending all my money to see one song at a venue or going to a festival and being like, I gotta pop to this band to see their one song at the end of their set and then can skip the whole thing. I'm like, nah, we should really have more bands that have more songs.
Yeah. And you know, the good thing about the way the world is today, it's so much easier for bands to get exposure. Like when we go back 20 years ago, bands just Warped Tour, you know, 15 years ago, Warped Tour was your exposure to the world, right? Now it could be TikTok. Bands blow up on that all the time and, you know, get 30 million streams off of one single that's got a 30-second blurb. That's crazy in itself. It's awesome, but there's so much competition then, right? There's so much. We're being bombarded by bands right now, too. It's kind of hard to pick through stuff, too. So I think it's a combination of stuff. It's great because we can all find bands so easily, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to sift through some stuff sometimes, too.
Yeah. I think one nice thing I found, obviously, like I've learned a lot of bands from those Warped Tour samplers back in the day when you would just say like, you know, the 2013 Warped Tour sampler, you're like, I got to check out all these bands and listen to this single. And then, you know, found some bands that I listen to still to this day. And I think with TikTok, it's a little bit more easy to find your lane. Like, oh, I really like metalcore. I really like emo. I really like pop punk. And so you just kind of get more and more of that. So there's more exposure on it, but you end up kind of siloing into a genre a little bit. So you're finding like your lane in that and getting a lot more of that type of sound at you versus maybe a little bit more variety of just going to Warped Tour and picking up a CD and checking out all the bands and all the sounds and everything that's happening there.
Yeah, I mean, I love the, I mean, I think one of my favorite like like I could even call it a mixtape. Survival of the Fattest. I think it was a Fat Records compilation. And I'm going back. I'm thinking myself, this might be like 99 or 97 or 8 or something, you know. But again, like, it was like 12 punk bands on there you'd never would have heard of, but it was a phenomenal mixtape. Yep. You know what I mean? And again, like, you go, Warped Tour used to be perfect for that. You'd have a CD and it'd be 8 bands on. You knew one band and you got it for the one band, but it's the other 8 bands you found because of it. I used to love that, you know. That's kind of got lost along the way too, somewhere. You know, you don't see that so much anymore, but always fun. Like I say, it's always fun when you find that one band you didn't know about, like, then you share it with your 20 friends and you go to the next show. You know what I mean?
You bring the posse to the gig.
Y'all gotta, like, hear let's
this, go. Yeah, I love it. Love it. Have you guys found any, is there any new bands you've been listening to lately that you've kind of recently delved into?
I am a music writer and journalist, so I always find a lot of really good ones. I really like these. There are two local bands, New Age Thief. They used to do some more like traditional emo stuff a few years ago under the name Safe Bet, but then they came back and now they're doing kind of like this like early OG emo Jimmy Eat World type of like emo music, and it's really, really solid and I really do enjoy it. And then this other one, Summer Brews, they're actually also, they're from Indiana, so they're local-ish. And they also put like almost like front bottom-esque type music. I remember I listened to it. I'm like, you know, we do have one front bottoms. There's nobody else really out here doing other types of front bottoms that kind of elevates it a little bit more, and they're doing it. So I also really like that as well.
Awesome. Brian, what do you got?
I don't really listen to anything past like 2009.
I usually have to send him a lot of stuff. Yeah, like, hey, listen to this.
What was the last record you listened to? Don't care if it's, what was the last thing you listened to?
So I'm having a moment with old Devil Wears Prada right now.
Okay.
I threw it on and I was like, man, From Roots Above is such a good record. And it's like, can't stop listening over and over again. I think Sleep Token is the band that I'm the most excited about from the past, you know, few years.
So we had the same management as Sleep Token.
Yeah.
And so we were in LA just prior to COVID kicking in. So we got to meet those guys. They were opening for Polyphia at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was interesting, and it's just to see the evolution of that band blow up. So yeah. they were kind of support. They weren't even direct support, I don't think, at that point. And they were good then, but just to see what I love about them is they've kind of blurred some really distinct boundaries right there in a really good way. Mm-hmm. And have done it in a really good way too, you know. And they're just kind of like they're the champions of the press right now in a great way too, you know.
Oh yeah.
But it's really cool to see a band literally just blow up, you know. And they've earned it too. They were that, I believe this was a third album. It wasn't like they had one album, blew up, now they're selling out arenas. That's it didn't happen that way. They were grinding to get there too. So
Yeah,
they're a great band.
Friends showed me their first record, and I was like, this band is too good. And then they started blowing up. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to gatekeep like I used to with like these bands where I was listening to them for a minute. I'm like, no, this band really does deserve it. The more people that listen to this band, the bigger they get, the better this is going to be.
You know how that was, right? It's like when they become popular, you can't listen anymore.
Yep.
Yeah. Not cool anymore.
When everyone started like getting so excited for this third record, I was like, I think I'm going to be really disappointed and I'm going to not want to listen to it. And then I listened to it. I said, no, this record's great. I can't stop listening to it. The whole record was my Spotify Wrapped last year. Just
oh, was it?
Every track. I love it. For the whole year. I'm like, that's all I listened to was Sleep Token.
I've kind of wanted to do like an acoustic cover of one of their tunes.
Yes.
See if I can pull it off. I think it'd be kind of, I haven't had anybody do anything yet like that. So. Yeah.
Do it.
Keep contemplating it. I should probably do it.
Throw it on TikTok.
The kids will like it. I think it's just crazy that they've been able to come out and actually span into the mainstream, or even like the normies will be like, yes, I like this one song that went viral, where we it's so hard to find that with any type of like metal music. Yeah. I just find that very impressive. And after this year's Grammys too, when Spirit Box had their Grammy probably unrightfully so taken away by Metallica yet again, I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, you know, next year Sleep Token better be nominated and they better win because of like their cultural impact so far. And I do agree. If they want to go based on all those factors, which I hope the Grammy does. I don't know. I'm not a judge, but I would hope they take into those factors to consider them.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one of the best Sleep Token videos yet? It's the live video when it goes quiet and there's somebody rips ass really loudly.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
So such a serious part of this song. Yep. Such a serious part of the song, and you there's some straight rip ass. It's quite brilliant.
Really loud too. Like,
I mean, I'm not saying that's what blew up the band, but there's a good chance that helped. A couple 20 million views on that too.
Like, they're just like, what's going on in this? No, like, who's this man? And then yeah. Why is he letting the people rip ass like that?
It's all good, man. It's all good. You gotta can't take it too seriously either, right? So I'm sure that sure those guys, knowing those guys, they laughed at that too. So.
Yeah.
Hey guys, guess what? We have more emo social content for you that gets left on the cutting room floor and just extended interviews and all other shenanigans over on our new Patreon. Well, not new, a little bit revamped Patreon. So just for either free $99 or $1 a month, if you want to get access to a little bit more content, you can support us in what we're doing here at ESC and all the content that we are putting out. And of course, just consume more of us in our maybe bad takes. You can check it out through the link in the bio or simply search on Patreon Emo Social Club.
All right. We only have a little bit of time left, I want to make sure we're asking you our questions that we ask everybody. So again, feel free to, if it makes sense to say something again, go for it. What is the most emo song you are listening to right now?
Emo.
It doesn't have to be genre specific to emo, but it could sound emo.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I always got dive back into kind of Senses Fail, right?
Yes.
I was also listening to the artist in the Ambulance recently. Yes. That's another one. I've played shows with all these bands too, even Story of the Year, who keep putting out stuff, right? Like, I recorded a record with John Feldman, who is the emo king, yeah, right? If you look at every record that he's produced, he's probably, you know, so actually Adam came out while I was recording a record with him and played ping pong. We had a game of ping pong together, and Adam being the bass player, Adam, of Story of the Year. So it's kind of going down there, like we had to do, we had to put together kind of a playlist of death songs, I guess, death songs you'd have at your funeral kind of thing, you know? So yeah. My Chem was one that was there too, you know, like, again, kind of reimagining going down the My Chem kind of, I saw My Chem at Reading Festival, I think that was 2006, you know, just as they're absolutely blowing up in the tent. So like to go back into that headspace I was at before. So I love those bands, you know, Rise Against, big band, love.
Yes.
I still listen to Rise Against a ton. And I think they've managed to kind of span that, you know, and still be relevant, still put out great music.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But one of my favorite bands, Rise Against, is probably top five band of all time. You know? So
love them.
Yeah. So that would be a quick glimpse of my emo listening.
Yeah.
So when will we get the Kill the Lights X Rise Against crossover?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's funny about it is if you stylistically, there's some elements here you may, you know, again, whether it's a chorus here or there or some of the just the melody pieces, you know, I kind of my roots, I've been in punk bands. I was in two punk bands, you know, my previous band Throw the Fight was in that kind of genre of kind of emo-ish, you know, crossover. So I feel like kind of that's my base, and I kind of managed to morph it into more of a metalcore thing. So I definitely am influenced by that. You know what I mean? It's just, I've just blended it and merged it into a metalcore metal band, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So we have our next question here. We covered it a little bit, but what was the inspo for this album or a specific song that you're promoting currently?
I think, again, it's just the Death Melodies, the album title was actually a demo song, and we sat down. I'm like, God, that'd be a really good album title, you know, and just it's like I imagine it just kind of it's a playlist of songs you'd kind of want at your funeral, like it's a story of life. It's kind of the vibe, right, without getting too deep on it. But I think if you can kind of, there's a lot of things covered in it, whether it's mental health, whether it's just relational things, whether it's like really good stuff happening in your life and the positive things and trying to maintain a positive outlook on life through a lot of crap too, you know. I think we can all talk about serious serious topics like mental health, but we can say that it's okay to come out of that and be in a really good space and really be happy with life and be happy with where you're at. I think that's okay to say that too, because I think people don't hear that too. You hear the negatives through some of the lyrics. Let's just say sometimes it's okay, and you can find yourself in a really good space. In a really dark spot, you can get to the light, and you can really turn things around. And I think that's a really important message for people here too. So part of this record is about saying, hey, look, shit can be really, really bad, but it's okay. We can get you to a really great spot too, whether it's mental health, whether it's with family, whether it's with friends, whether it's relationally. Like, life can turn around very quickly and be a really great space too. So if that's what people, you know, that's what I will hope people take away from it. There's a battle in there too, but at the same time, there's definitely hope in it.
I don't know if we asked, where are you, where did you grow up? Like, what city did you grow up in?
So I'm based out of Peterborough, which is in England. So my whole family are based there. So it's about 35 minutes from Cambridge,
okay. About
an hour and 10 minutes outside of London.
Gotcha.
So I grew up there until I was 18 and then came to college in the US.
Gotcha.
Mixed, my accent probably sounds Australian, something messed up to you right now.
I was a little bit like maybe Australian. So yes, a little bit.
It's half English, half Minnesota creates Australia. Yeah.
Yep.
We found the perfect mixture.
Yeah.
It is. It's confusing. I sound English to weirdly English Australian to the Americans, and I sound just awkward to English people now. Yeah. So I'm lost.
But they're Australians, like, where'd you come from?
Australians are like, we get you.
I just say northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It just throws everybody off. Small town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the question I'm going to ask is, how was the music scene in the city, either where you grew up or when you moved to the U.S. and you were living here? How was the music scene? When have you really got involved in it? Like, what was that scene like? Were there any bands when you were growing up that you really liked that you want to shout out or anything like that to, like, sort of talk about that experience?
If I look back to my first ever kind of like shows I went to and snuck out, and it was in Nottingham Rock City. We kind of snuck out, didn't have a sleepover, went on a train for 2 hours. And anyway, that was Korn with like Incubus opening for them.
Hell
on
yeah.
Like their first EP going back into the late 90s, which is crazy.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of the times around kind of like the Rage Against Machine kind of hitting and that rap rocky thing kind of evolving. And then kind of like, you know, I moved in my late teens, early 20s to the US, right? So Minneapolis. And that scene was pretty big at the time too. There was a lot of bands, American Head Charger band, kind of industrial metal band that kind of produced by Rick Broom, and it was kind of the time when Slipknot, which again, those guys were in Iowa, kind of, you know, Des Moines area. Mm-hmm. That whole kind of metal scene was rotating and pretty big at that time, you know, so there's a lot of bands popping. Minneapolis itself, you know, you do a local show at First Avenue and you'd have 500-600 kids go there. So it was really cool to be part of that thing happening. There was definitely something special happening at that time. So, you know, kind of the UK part, you know, so again, the UK, I was doing a bunch of hardcore stuff, going to like underground shows there, which is really awesome, punk stuff. And then even Minneapolis, like bands like Mustard the Plug, some old school punk bands that were around in kind of the early 2000s too. Like the Triple Rock in Minneapolis, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but Dillinger 4, I believe, are the ones that own that. But like that was in itself was a pretty big scene. So, but then fast forward, like it's been kind of a little bit more diluted, I think, you know, in the Twin Cities in a hot minute. But yeah, it's like growing up in two different, very different scenes, one in England, one in the US,
and yeah,
kind of the evolution of music a little bit genre wise at that time too. So yeah, that was kind of that's why I'm all over the place with, like, and again, my listing's kind of all over the place. So if you look at my playlist, you'd be like, what is that?
What is this?
You'll be confused. You know what I mean? So, but again, it's just like whatever works,
yeah,
feelings wise, mood wise. You probably guys are the same. You know, I'll have such spreads, or I'll go down a thrash metal vibe, or I'll hit a little country. It's just so across the board, just depending on how I'm feeling. You know, so
plus a lot of country and like hard active rock is kind of blending over big time right now. So I feel like it just makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover, yes, everything right now.
Yes.
When Jelly Roll becomes a country artist, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then he goes on that U.S. tour, and then he brings another country artist to open, and everyone else who's like more hard rocks and be like, maybe this Yeehaw thing is for me.
What's interesting though, like you talk about, I think even like Five Finger Death Punch just brought out Brantley Gilbert. I think like Brantley
really,
yeah, that was an arena tour. So Brantley Gilbert's straight country guy. I mean, straight country. You know, you got Five Finger Death Punch, the rock metal, whatever you would consider that. You know, so to have that, to see that happen, that's kind of crazy. Apparently worked, you know. So I think I think a lot of different bands would probably try and tour with each other if they could, to be honest. It's just, again, you know, you still would sell tickets, you know, a lot to make it work. So when people are like, dude, these three bands should totally tour together, it's like, well, they would probably love to do that. Even some of the throwback emo bands too that probably love, but it makes way more sense for them to headline and do it themselves, you know. It's a shame, but trying to get paid, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
One day everybody will be able to have their mixed genre lineups again and we can all live in peace, but we cannot do that yet.
Not yet.
No. It used to happen, though. It did happen.
All right. So our next question here, we're going to just jump into it. What type of collab would you like to do and with whomst? Anybody you could think of?
Ooh. I'd love to write a song with Rise Against. Give me a go at that.
Yep.
You know, I'd also like to sit down with the lead singer of Sleep Token and write a song with him too. I mean, that I think we'd come up with some really weird stuff in a good way though, you know what I mean? So, you know, and even like maybe even some country artists just to, I think part of it's just trying to explore different things that you don't do. Like to stretch yourself a little bit, you know what I mean? I think if you can do that, we traditionally don't really write with anybody else, but I would love to just kind of sit in a room, and some of the most fun stuff comes out in a studio situation where you're just writing and having fun and just exploring stuff. So I think any of those people I mentioned there, but also just, I love the idea of just trying different genres too.
Yeah. I mean, you got the tambourine involved, so really anything's possible.
I think I can definitely join a country band right now just based on my tambourine. I can wear a cowboy hat.
100%.
Yeah, get the cowboy boots. Listen, if Jimmy Butler chaps. Can do it, we all can
chaps.
Do it.
Yeah. I got chaps. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Needs,
there you
I
go.
Chaps.
That's such a prerequisite.
They've got tassels and everything. We're going to be golden.
Next question. How were the singles chosen from this record? So when you were writing and recording them, when did you know, like, this is one of the singles, this is one of the singles, and these are the ones that we're going to put out to promote the record or be the showcase of what we're trying to create with this record?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just kind of a collaborative piece between management. This was a collaborative piece between label management and the band. You know, to be honest, my favorite songs are not the singles. They're just not. Which, again, is also, I think, is a good thing. I mean, I think, you know, I think my top four songs, not one of them is one of the singles, and that's okay, you know. Again, some of it's formatting wise too, depending on what we were aiming for. Like, obviously talk about Scapegoat, kind of, you know, metalcore-ish vibe to that, very much so. Sleep of the Devil's a bit more ballady, you know. We got From Ashes is a bit more active rock. I think it was just a collaborative. That was kind of a bit of a combination of, hey, here's the suggestions, what are your guys' thoughts, we're okay with that, you know. Like, some of it's around some of the conceptual pieces for the videos too, like putting together kind of a storyboard for the videos as well. What do we feel would be a good fit for a video versus just a song specific? So, collaborative kind of between label management, the band. My favorite song. I'm excited for the album to come out because I'm super excited for people to hear.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a couple more mellow ones, the singles, you know, and people are like, oh, there they go. I'm like, I can't wait.
There they go again.
Just you wait.
I cannot wait for you to listen to the album. Then.
Just see, you wait.
I'm like, I want to be keyboard warrior, but like, let me know what you think after you listen to the album.
You're waiting the feedback. Night it goes live. Yeah. And you're like, I'm waiting. I'm totally. Waiting right now.
I'm going to wait. I've seen the 12 comments. I'm going to repost. How you like those apples?
You're going on TikTok and answering them directly as they come out.
Every one of them. Every one of them. When the album comes out. So, yeah.
All right. And then our last question here. So you have an EU tour, UK tour coming up. Are we going to see any US tour dates?
That is a very much, we are very much planning on that, yes. is the answer to it. Can't give details right now, but yes, we're very excited to come to the U.S. and play some shows. So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
In the works.
And yes. Allegedly maybe 200 cap sweaty punk venues.
I'm okay with all the above, you know?
Okay.
Big and small.
Yeah, I played Warped Tour back in the day, so, you know, it's I'm familiar with the pushing your equipment 1.5 miles and checking in at 8 o'clock in the morning and sweating and getting your free cup of water for the day and driving 27 hours to the next spot.
Yep. And you're good like, times. I want to do that again.
And can we sign up for next year already?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We've definitely evolved since that time where it's like some people are at least like, yeah, we don't need to do that. But there are some people who are like, I loved doing that and I would choose to do it again. And the fans will be there. And
it's all relative, right? I think I've been in a van for many, many a tour and slept on many a floor. And there's a time and a place for that. And I'm completely fine with doing it, you know. Sometimes it's okay to have a hotel room or a bed even. That's okay too. So, but
that's good not time. To cram.
Yeah, we're just, like I said, we're just excited to get out and meet people, and particularly in the U.S. too. We have, again, half the band's based in the U.S. We're just really excited to get over here, and the rest of the guys get over here and just really kind of catch up with people that we've all told the U.S. a lot. We just really, on this album cycle, really just want to get out and meet everybody and see everybody again in the U.S. for sure.
All right. Well, that's all of our questions. So now we'll just do any promotion plugs, anything where people can find you, where they should pre-save the record, support you too. Obviously, if there's a place where they can buy it on website or vinyl or anything like that, and where they can get tickets for the EU tour and find out when that US tour eventually happens.
Yep. So you would find us just Kill the Lights on Instagram. Everything else, Instagram, Facebook, all the usual places, right? All the links are on there, specifically that. Album is out March 8th. Tour starts April 19th. Again, hitting UK and Europe. Again, feel free to reach out to us, shoot us messages. We respond back. We are the ones responding back to stuff too. So we like to be pretty interactive with that too. So like I say, got another single coming out when the album comes out. We got a bunch of sweet vinyl that's up for sale on the website or through Fearless as well. So I think we've got 3 different colors, which everybody always says, hey, was pissed off that we didn't have vinyl on the first one. I'm like, I had a good buddy of mine. I'm like, you better screenshot me that you purchased that goddamn vinyl.
You're like, I swear to God, if you don't, I'm it's like, all for nothing.
Yeah. He did. He's like, here we go. I'm like, because all you said was, where's the vinyl? I'm like, I swear to God, every time we post something, it's like, do you have the vinyl? I'm like, we do. Please look. There is vinyl in the picture, you know? So. So we're excited. We're excited to have that, but just excited you'd have it out. And again, we've been waiting for about 2 years on this album as well, just through writing through COVID and everything else too. We're just excited for it to come out and finally get the fans to hear it. So
perfect. Death Melodies is out March 8th. If you're listening to this, you better already be over there saving it, picking up a vinyl, leaving comments.
Picking up the vinyl.
Yeah. Pick up the vinyl, leave a comment that you bought the vinyl. So that
prove yourself.
Yeah, prove yourself to everybody.
Don't be a liar on the internet. That's the worst thing you could be possibly.
And then those people that have kind of made keyboard worrying about the album so far, feel free. I'm gonna tell them. I'm gonna stalk them down.
Yep.
Yeah, James is ready to find you. It's on site actually.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Well, I appreciate you guys' time.
Yeah, James, this is awesome. Thank you so much, and we'll hopefully see you when you're in Chicago and. Yeah, this is great.
For sure. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for checking out this episode of the Emo Social Club podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider rating us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice.
We're only going to take the 5 stars. If there's anything below, we're going to have a conversation, aka Brian fighting you in the comments online.
Leave us a comment online so I can fight with you. You can find us on all of the social medias in our description. You can also... You can also subscribe to us over on our YouTube channel where you can see the video version of this interview. You can like, comment, and subscribe there just to, you know, get in the comments and I can argue with you about your thoughts and your opinions.
He's
on
the
it.
Main one always arguing, guys.
I will win. That should encourage you to go do it. All right. Well, from all of us here at the Emo Social Club, I am Brian.
And I'm Lizzie.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Ask right in.
Ask the dog his opinion. Great. I still am
so confident that you do not understand how dogs work. Don't think you understand how dogs operate, what dogs know, or what dogs don't know.
Listen.